All right. This is a different type of buffet. So we're gonna talk a little bit here about skin lesions. It's gonna be really, really fast, and then what we don't get to, that's good reference for you. So we'll try to get through this till two. All right, y'all never see skin, right? It's kind of a big deal in the training room, all kinds of different things that are going on. So today we wanna recognize some of the clinical manifestations of sports-related skin conditions. We wanna be able to describe. That's one of the biggest things. If you need to talk to someone else, you need to be able to learn how to describe. And it's an art to be able to do that. And you wanna be familiar with preventative. That's what you guys are helping, making sure rubbing's not going on, shearing forces aren't going on, and skin-to-skin contact that might be infected. So it's your largest organ, all right? It's a lot of stuff that which you'll see from that. So it protects, it's from physical agents, infectious agents. It protects from biting and stinging, and also from chemical agents. It looks like she had some agents put on her skin, maybe. It looks like she's doing that. All right, so anatomy of the skin, just a quick slide. Remember from here at the top, this is what your, is this working? Yeah, I can't really see that. So at the top, you can see where the skin is and some of the hair. And you see how the subcutaneous tissue works, and it's a cooling mechanism as well, in addition to filled with neurotype substances so that you can protect yourself from burns. Okay, so the types of injuries, you're gonna see mechanical trauma, maybe not so much cold-induced trauma, maybe during the summer, but you never know. We do use ice in the training room a lot, so occasionally you can see some of that. Heat-induced, maybe more specifically sun-induced, infectious etiologies, and contact dermatology. Dermatitis, excuse me. Okay, so physical training can affect the skin because of the different stresses. All right, so this shows a good example of when that occurs. So this mechanical problem can cause abrasions and lacerations. Okay, sometimes a foreign body might get in there. All right, so usually we use masks, maybe knee pads, elbow pads, to protect and prevent injuries such as these. Okay, these are things that you guys can help do. Occasionally, you can use some occlusive ointment. Helps promote faster healing. Okay? So we also have some of the friction injuries. These are blisters and calluses and corns. So some of the blisters shown here, you can see a little bit of fluid. Most of the time, you might see that with improper footwear. Sometimes at the collegiate level, everybody will get new shoes, and then they start volleyball practice, and they put in 18 hours in those shoes, and then they come back and say, look at all of our feet. It's like, that's not a big surprise. You've seen that before. So try to think a little bit ahead of time on that footwear. Maybe they can get it a couple of days in advance and start walking in those shoes. So you'll see this in rowing and tennis, any other friction sports with the hands, such as weightlifting. All right. So one of the things I found a little bit from my wilderness medicine friends is the benzoin for prevention and treatment. So it burns like heck, but if somebody needs this kind of second skin, sometimes you can put a little tuberculin needle in there and draw that out, put a little benzoin. It burns the heck out of them, but it helps glue the skin back on and uses that as an occlusive. All right, so calluses, something you see a lot of. It's an adaptive mechanism. From thickening areas of the skin that caused by chronic rubbing. Okay, sometimes these become dry and you can get some painful fissures. And usually what we'll do is make sure, again, proper footwear, if it's on the feet. Occasionally you probably got your little mechanisms in which you'll go ahead and pare down some of the thickened skin. Okay. So corns, aptly named because they look yellow and almost look like someone put a little bit of corn in here, and they're pretty hard, almost like a kernel of corn that's been dried before popcorn, keeping with the buffet analogy. Treatment includes removing of the offending pressure sore. So occasionally, sometimes with spikes or maybe some other cleats, there might be an area specifically where the way they walk, they might push that cleat up. Sometimes you can kind of shear that down a little bit so there's not as much push so that it doesn't cause any of these frictional injuries. Okay. A couple more examples. Usually, like I said, I'll have that hard core. Sometimes these will actually end up being plantar works, and we'll have a little slide for that. Don't want you to miss that part. Okay, black heel. So first described way back in the day with basketball players, concurrent any jumping group. Doesn't require any treatment, but you want to try to prevent some of the rubbing and mechanical symptoms that might be causing this. Sometimes people put a little bit of felt in there to kind of offload the mechanics. Occasionally they may almost kind of look like a little bit like a wart, where you can specifically see just a little flecks of the calcaneal of the TKA. You might see that as a little black dot. You might confuse that with some type of flat wart that's really large. Okay, suboccal hematoma, more trauma, right? So a lot of times it was on the foot, the big toe. You might, again, proper footwear. Occasionally these will happen on the hand, and it's usually good to have some nail plate damage. And y'all probably, this is probably one of the fun things that you might do, is you might go ahead and put this needle in there and relieve the pressure, and become a hero really quickly. Patients love you when it just takes about 2 seconds. All right. So this might happen a little bit more with your runners, long distance runners, marathon runners, the dreaded bleeding jogger nipples, all right? Seems to happen in men, but may also happen in women who run without bras. So those that are covering some of the longer running events, these are things that can occur. And if you already had this happen, you don't want to have it happen a second time. So you can usually treat with some ointment or some taping with some type of hypoallergenergic adhesive tape. All right. I've never ran far enough for this to ever be a problem. Okay, and I haven't lifted enough for this to be a problem. Stretch marks. Okay, usually they're moderate, about 70% of young women and 40% of young men by age 21. Unknown cause. It seems to be that weightlifting seems to be the aggravating component for it. I've got a friend of mine that I played high school football with, and I saw him. We were had all met. We were at a swim party, and I remembered him having this, and it was gone. It took 30 years, but I guess it went away for him. So I guess if you had it when you were younger, there might be a chance that this will go away. Some people claim that dermabrasion, some chemical pills, and possibly the laser might help it, in addition to Retin-A or the Tazorac gel. All right. So how many people have seen these little papules before? These are interesting, right? So these are little herniations of the fat through the connective tissue, mostly on the lateral side of the heel. And they can be pretty painful. There's not really any known cure, but obviously the fat's fenestrating its way through there. Okay, cold-induced skin injuries. Hopefully you'll see a lot of these, but you can. Different types are frostnip, frostbite, cold urticaria, Raynaud's phenomenon, and chilblains. Okay. So frostnip is most common, usually happens on the ski slopes. It's the most common because it's the lesser and the more superficial of all the frost type injuries. And it usually occurs when there's ambient temperatures below freezing with a high wind chill. So usually treatment's just rewarming the extremity and going indoors. A lot of times on the face, we'll say don't go out and shave or wash your face that day. Try to get a little more rugged look before you go outside and ski. All right, so frostbite's a little bit more serious. Anybody here seen frostbite? Done some wilderness or anything like that? Okay, this is heartbreaking to see this. See right there the necrosis is occurring with the fingers. I've included a little wind chill chart just to give you a little bit of an idea of when you're gonna be in some severe issues in regards to the temperature and the wind as they come together and form the DARPA area. It just takes about 6 minutes of your body being in that dark area for you to start developing frostbite. So that's not a lot of time. Okay. All right. So cold urticaria. I'm sure y'all seen this a little bit with some treatments in the training room. And somebody even have a demographic where y'all can kind of write and spell their names forward and backwards as well. Go. Do y'all have that? Have y'all seen that on anybody's back with the cold?
Come on.
Nobody? Has anybody seen anybody that has cold urticaria? You know what that is, right? You got to raise. Okay. All right. And you can actually spell cold out and it'll raise up. Okay. All right. Okay. So Raynaud's is a little bit different when there's some constriction of the small arteries in your vessel because of the cold. And you see here the changes, you'll get white and then you might get some blue. So the white's due to inadequate blood flow. And then if it's kind of in between, it'll be blue just because you just won't be getting enough oxygen. So it's kind of a spectrum. It can be very painful. Sometimes it's related to medications. Sometimes it's just related with genetics and families. Anybody here have it? How does it get induced for you? Random. It's not stress.
I can feel it.
You can feel it in here? Okay. Is this triggering it?
No.
Okay, good. Good, I feel better. Anybody else? And what do you usually do to help minimize the symptoms?
Okay.
All right. Okay. I will let you see this part right here. All right. Chilblains is a more localized inflammatory lesion. It's mostly in children. Again, a lot of times you'll get this little erythema or blistering, maybe at the little tips. You've got a little pitting in this little yellow dot here, which I'm sure you can't see over there, but it's got these little, kind of some pitting. So, you know, if it's cold, then go ahead and try to avoid that as much as possible. Keep that extremity warm. Most of the time, they're going to go ahead and grow out of it, I guess. Okay. Something we see a little bit more in Texas, right? Heat-induced skin injuries. All right. So you've got this one, which, again, is urticaria, which is like a hive. And we've got some raised skin, and it's mediated by acetylcholine. And so a lot of times, you'll use, like, an antihistamine to help this. Right. You can see a little bit better on the back there. And here's that dermographia that can occur. They wrote the word hive at the top. So that's not carved in. That's just part of the urticaria. Okay. Prickly heat. See a lot of this. It's basically a sweat duct obstruction. Okay. Little tiny, small vesicles. Usually about 1 millimeter, maybe 2. And of course, if you can avoid the sweat, then you'll be okay. All right. So xerosis is just dry skin. Occasionally, you'll get some desquamation, just meaning that the skin kind of dies off or gets flaky, and it can get a little itchy. Pretty severe at the top up here. But sometimes you can just get that along some of the extensor surfaces. All right. So this one's interesting. Only seen this once, and it had really to do more with doing the fake tan more than anything else. But they did the fake tan and they got out in the heat, and then they started having this erythema obgigme. So this could occur with hot packs. So I don't know if y'all seen that. Hopefully you have. But occasionally I've seen it like on the thigh. Okay, so sun damage, basically what we're going to see more besides just, you know, your frank skin burn is some chronic skin exposure. So you can see premature wrinkling with that, actinic keratoses, skin cancers of different sorts. usually these are exposures, and they're not going to happen as much in the younger athlete, but it's something that might occur more in the middle age or older athletes. The other thing is that a lot of you folks are in the sun as well. You've been doing this for 20, 30 years, so this might affect you as well. Okay, so prevention is the key. Sunscreen of SPF 15 or higher. So how many people wear SPF 15 and higher every time they're outside? Okay, I'm guessing about 25%. So you do this much longer, you might be in this, and I've got a lot of little spots right up here because I was not very smart about things. Whenever I was premature, balding, I was in denial, did not put a hat on. Don't be that person. All right? Get your SPF on. Okay, so we got bacterial infections. These are the ones that kind of cause a little disruption when you get a little worried because you're not exactly always sure where things might be going with this. So you've got, especially in the adolescent population, your acne. You've got impetigo that can occur from infancy on up. You've got boils, you've got cellulitis, other erythematous issues. I'll show you some pitted keratolysis. And anybody here ever seen swimming pool granuloma? Anybody here take care of swimmers? Okay. All right. So pustular acne, probably all went through this. We've probably all seen this a million times. It's basically inflammation process with bacteria. Most people, thank goodness, it only lasts for maybe months, and you'll get over it. You usually grow out of it, hopefully. Males more than females. I think folks are using Accutane a little bit less because of the severe side effects, which would include some depression as well. And try to stay away from things that give adolescents depression. So impetigo, again, this is sort of the honeycomb or honey-colored crust lesion. It'll burn, itch. It's caused by staph. May have some strep, but it's not the bad staph. And usually this works well with a topical. So you have a boil, which is basically a smaller skin abscess as well. It's usually it's walled off. Staph's going to be the most common etiology for this, and it's going to have some material. All right, antibiotics are helpful, but as you know, you've got to usually get the core antibiotic, but you need to get an incision or a drainage to get that out. Okay, cellulitis, I'm sure we've all seen this in the training room. It's usually a strep. This is not a MRSA, this is a strep, group A strep. Usually occurs from some type of break in the skin. And you'll see it'll be warm, be red, be swollen, and usually it'll be very tender. And it's usually got these really defined borders. Okay. Sometimes when I first see this, I'll go ahead and take out the Sharpie. You've probably done that. Take the Sharpie, see how they do the next day. And if they start going beyond that, you know that you're going to need to take some action on that. If it resorbs, it might be something that the body's going ahead and doing better and just watching a little bit slower. Okay. So you've got erythema, which is a bacterial infection. A lot of times people confuse it with Tinea cruris, but it's more brown and scaly than red. And it's kind of got plaquey because of the rubbing and the heat. And usually you'll use some drying powders and some topical antibacterial soaps. So I'll put this in here for some interesting collegiate guidance. So if you're working with wrestlers, and I looked at the UIL website a couple of weeks back, and they didn't have any specific guidelines. It was sort of kind of a person-to-person basis, and I'm sure there's some national guidelines that go with the Wrestling Federation. But with the NCAA, this kind of gives you a little bit of idea of who can wrestle and who can't. With some of these lesions. And usually it's about a 48-hour. Sometimes it'll be 72, depending on if new lesions are occurring. So I'll put a couple of those guidelines in there. So, Titus externa, I'm sure you've Notice that. You pull on the ear, it's very tender. You look in the canal, it's swollen. Pseudomonas is the most common. It's usually mild, but it can get pretty bad. Obviously, they call swimmers here for a reason. It happens mainly in swimmers. Okay, pitted keratoses. This is always interesting to see. People come in. Not as painful, but it just looks horrible. There's a lot of exfoliation of the skin. It seems to be cratering all the way down. It's kind of a wet crater. It happens up the sole of the feet, usually the heel, occasionally up here at the front. And usually you'll use like oral erythromycin if a topical 5% formalin solution doesn't help. Anybody seen this? How's it smell whenever they take their shoe off? We'll let you find out. Okay, swimming pool granuloma occurs in swimmers. And it's an acid fast bacillus, just in case you forgot that, in micro way back in the day. And it evades some of the cuts in the skin that might occur. And this is something that if you're working with swimmers and they're at an open pool that you need to let the health department know because you want to prevent any type of epidemic. But doxycycline works for this, but it's a little difficult. Okay, so you have your viral infections. And these will include warts, which I'm sure you've seen plenty. Plantar warts, here. See, you paired this off a little bit here. Sometimes that can be helpful. Sometimes they're confused with corns. They have that little mosaic pattern in there with the dead, what I kind of call the dead capillaries up in there, the black capillaries that help kind of make a difference between that and a corn. Herpes simplex, obviously, becomes a big issue here with wrestling. And here's some of the guidelines that NCAA uses. And here, it's like you need to be on systemic medicines for at least 120 hours. Okay. Hopefully nobody here has had shingles, but this is what shingles can look like. It's usually a cluster. Here's down to dermatomal distribution, red base, painful. If you've seen this enough, you'll notice that people said they're starting to itch and they're having some weird pain, especially along the face and the chest. It's hard. It's a little bit harder to find that down on the leg, and they'll start having this. And you got to think, wow, this actually might be early shingles. And if you think that's the case, you might get them to your physician provider and they could go ahead and start some Zovirax. But a lot of times it'll occur with stressful situations. Fungal infections, the Tinea family. You've seen a lot of these, especially the corpus with the central sparing. Starts getting larger and larger and larger. You get a little scaly red border. Here's the capitis, looks scaly and gray. Right. This is treated with the oral medication because it's so thick. Happens to babies a little bit more. You got the tinea barbae. And some of these tinea infections, again, you need to make sure that you're following your guidelines. And I'm sure y'all seen enough of athlete's foot to go around. Right. Jock itch, you've seen enough of that. All right, intertrigo. A lot of sweating going on, you can get this. And again, this is, you gotta get these little satellite lesions. So that's more the Candida albicans or the yeast infection. Try to avoid the tight clothing. Okay. So I left a little bit here on the contact dermatitis. You've probably seen that too, especially when you're introduced to new equipment, either shoes or undergarments or those types of things. And you'll see that. You see some tough skin dermatitis. Saw that happen before. Contact dermatitis, this might be offending edge. It could be deodorant or antiperspirant. And I found that you can usually stop the antiperspirant, deodorant for a couple days. Sometimes you can go right back and use the same one and it's not a problem. So any questions or comments as we finish up?
I work in a hospital and a good percentage of the elderly folks I work with have yellow gnarled toenails. Is that contagious?
No. Thank goodness.
And could I?
Go ahead. Yeah.
With the sunscreen, lotions and sprays and mousses, and are they all pretty equally effective, or is one better than the other?
No, I'm a simple man, and I don't care what you use as long as you use something. I think everybody can make the case for different ones, but as long as there's some, is a cream or a ointment or a solution or anything that you like, that's what you need to be using. That's what I recommend.
Thank you.
Yes, so if our athletes have to be on antibiotics, is there a recommendation that they need to be on it 48 hours before you let them participate? Is there certain antibiotics that you don't want them participating on?
Well, I think we know, like, we're seeing a lot in the literature on the Cipro and levofloxacin, those things have caused tendon injuries. So I'm being a little bit more skittish about putting my athletes on those medications where I can find some others. So to answer the first part of the question, everything's a little bit different. It depends on what your situation is, depends on when your event is, depends on what the medical director for that event, if it's a skin or wrestling type of injury, might be. But usually you're gonna need to be on the oral antibiotics maybe for a skin infection for at least 72 hours. Some of the others are a little bit different with some of the viral.
Because you'll have coaches ask that, like, oh, he's got 7 seconds. Okay, well, the doctor never said he couldn't
practice. Right. Right, yeah. And that's the whole part of having that conversation ahead of time. And, of course, if you're in a sport like wrestling, I mean, anytime you see a skin lesion, I mean, it's best to just get them to whoever's supposed to be right away, because what you don't want to do is watch too long and then all of a sudden you have an event and you're going, oh, if we would have put them on antibiotics that day, that would have been helpful. Okay, well, thanks for putting up with my buffet.